breeze.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. They're just dropping like flies, I tell you. Last week, I believe we didn't have Mary Livingston. And this week, we don't have Mary, and we don't have Phil, and we don't have Mel Blanc. Next week, we won't have anybody. So they actually do a rerun next week, basically an unprecedented move, but Don says it's because there was a flu epidemic going around. Now, the only problem with that is Phil Harris does do his own show this week, and he sounds fine. So I don't know if what was going on with Phil, why he wasn't on the show. Trying to think if the shows are still in Palm Springs. Maybe they're still in Palm Springs. I'm just thinking this off the top of my head, because Phil's show definitely says it's from Hollywood. So maybe Phil went back home, and so he couldn't, of course, be on both shows if they're one's in Hollywood and one's in Palm Springs. Let's see. This episode features a visit to the dentist with the beavers, and I think it might be the first time in which, because they redid it for television, it might be the first time, in my opinion, where the television episode covering it is actually maybe better than the radio episode. Not to disparage the radio episode, but just seeing Jack Benny go to the dentist and all the issues that can happen in a dentist office works pretty well visually. And so I think the visual element adds to it, instead of sometimes the visual element almost takes away. Like if they're going to go visit the vault or something, it's better to hear it and imagine it. But I'm not sure about this episode, which one's which. But if I can find it online, the dentist episode, I will post it. But I don't think it is. I believe I saw it recently on the RTV network. I think it was the episode they aired maybe, I don't know, a month ago or something. But maybe I saw it online, I can't remember. Anyway, enjoy this episode with highlighting just a few cast members instead of as many as usual. And then join us next week for a rerun from the 49th season, introduced by Don. I'm going to check to see if that episode, if it truly has Don's introduction. If we've lost it, I have the actual introduction written down from Laura Leff's great book, 39 Forever. So I'll read that if Don's introduction doesn't exist. And I guess that's it for this podcast. I'm going to make it a lot longer, but I don't want to do that because it's getting late in the day on Sunday, and I haven't put it out yet. It's 4 at West Coast time, so you guys are probably missing it over on the East Coast. I've already had a couple emails. Where's the episode? So I will put it up there, and you folks can enjoy it. For folks that like Larry Stevens, make sure you're tuning in. He's, of course, the tenor from the 1946 season that we're playing on Tuesday nights. And he's only got a couple episodes left, and then Dennis will be back. So enjoy him while you can. This upcoming episode, unfortunately, has the music cut out, so all you get to do is hear a little bit of him, but not hear his music. Luckily, his very last episode's music is intact and everything, so you can hear his last song on the Jack Benny Show, which will be about a week away, like I say. Anyway, keep tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky strike today.
If you've been missing smoking joy and really want some fast, try better tasting Lucky Strike for pleasure that will last. Yes, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
So many folks don't like their smokes, and that is really sad, for Lucky's mildness and rich taste would make them very glad.
Sure, because Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Friends, when we say Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette, we mean just that. Not just as good, but better. For Lucky's always give you real mildness and rich, true tobacco taste. A perfect blending that fine tobacco and only fine tobacco can give you. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. That's important because a recent 38-city survey shows that millions of smokers are not happy with their present brand. Now those smokers and any smoker who's the least bit discontented should switch to Lucky Strike. Yes, friends, for complete smoking enjoyment, be happy, go lucky, because Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to Jack Benny's house in Beverly Hills. I know he's home because his car is in the garage. Now, if you just follow me, we'll go in and pay Jack a visit.
And you needn't ask me to leave, because you're going to sit there and listen to what I've got to say.
Uh-oh, better not go in. Seems to be some sort of a commotion going on.
I haven't told you half what's on my mind. And believe me, I'm talking for everybody in this neighborhood. Why, when you first moved in, we thought you were a nice, gentle, kindly old man. But before we knew it, you had the mortgages on all our houses. I don't blame you for not saying anything. All you can do is sit there with your mouth open. And why? Because even you know that last trick you pulled was the cheapest, most abominable thing anybody ever did. Imagine putting a woman with 7 children out on the sidewalk because she missed 1 payment.
Rochester, turn off that radio.
Yes!
You have just heard another episode in that thrilling story, The Mean Old Man. In tomorrow's episode, you will hear the true...
Thanks, Rochester.
I don't know why you listen to that program, boss. It always upsets you.
Well, I don't know where they get those fantastic ideas. I mean, nobody can be that cheap.
Well...
And that corny title, The Mean Old Man. It's ridiculous.
I'll give it. Mr. Benny's residence, star of stage, screen, radio, and the only laundry service that... Huh? Oh, hello, Miss Livingston. I almost wasted a commercial on you. Yeah, I'll put him on. It's Miss Livingston, boss.
Thanks. Hello, Mary. How do you feel? What? 100? Mary, that's awful. Oh, your temperature. I thought you meant the doctor bill. Anyway, I'm glad you're feeling better. And Mary, what? Oh, you're welcome, Mary. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Now, I'll call you tomorrow, honey. Goodbye.
What'd you thank you for, boss?
Well, everybody's been sending her flowers and fruit and candy, so I just thought I'd be a little different.
What did you send her?
A bowl of chili. You know, it's good in this nippy weather. Anyway, it looks like Miss Livingston will be back on the program next week.
That's good. If you don't need me anymore now, boss, I'll go in the library and finish working on your scrapbook.
Oh, fine, Rochester. You know, one of my biggest thrills is when I show my scrapbook to people.
I know, boss. That's why I put the picture of you shaking hands with the King of England right on the front cover.
Good. What's on the back cover?
An ad. You sold a space to Manischewitz's wife.
I had that hunch all day.
I'm a bourbon man.
Man... Well, Rochester, look at Pace. Pace, I went over it with him 1,000 times. Manischewitz says, Rochester, paste that picture of me playing the violin on the inside cover, will you?
Oh, I can't. We've got that reserved for Serge hands.
Oh. What are you laughing at?
You've got the only scrapbook that's been handled by Batten, Parson, Durston, and Osborne.
Well, you go in the library and paste all my reviews in it.
Yes, sir.
I'll get it. Be my love, da dee da dee da 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 dum. Be my love, dum 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 dee da dum. Well, hello, Mr. Brown.
Hello, Mr. Benny. I'm sorry I'm 3 days late with the rent on our house, but here it is.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, Mr. Benny, our hot water heater is leaking. Do you think maybe you could have it fixed?
Well, see, plumbing costs are awfully high now, you know.
I guess they are, but it's been months since you promised to paint the living room.
Well...
I fixed the hole in the roof myself.
Well, good, good.
Well, I guess I'll be running along. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Brown, how's your wife? I mean, what's she doing now?
Oh, haven't you heard? She writes that radio program, The Mean Old Man.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I listen to it every day. Your wife has quite an imagination.
Yeah, imagination.
Huh?
Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye.
Who was it, boss?
It was Mr. Brown from Long Beach.
Oh, you know, he's been complaining a long time about a hole in the roof.
It's fixed.
But, boss, I don't remember you sending anyone down to fix it.
If I say it's fixed, it's fixed. If you don't believe me, listen to tomorrow's episode and you'll find out. By the way, Rochester, has my television script arrived from CBS?
No, not yet, boss.
I don't know what's holding it up. I got so much memorizing to do. Now, that must be it now. Come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, it's you, Dennis. Come on in.
Thank you.
How do you feel, kid?
Oh, fine, thanks.
How are your folks?
They're fine, too.
That's good.
Especially my father. After 6 months, they finally took the cast off his foot.
In a cast for 6 months?
Uh-huh.
Dennis, what was wrong with your father's foot?
Oh, nothing. He stepped in a bucket of cement.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Look, kid, I can understand your father stepping in a bucket of cement. I can almost understand him standing there and letting the cement dry. But why? I mean, why would he keep it on his foot for 6 months?
Well, my mother made him.
What?
When he stayed out late at night, he couldn't tiptoe into the house.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Imagine your mother making him keep his foot in a bucket for 6 months.
Oh, 2 weeks ago, it came in handy.
How?
They were invited to a masquerade, and Papa went as a potted palm.
Look, kid, do me a favor, will you?
What?
As long as you've got your mouth open, sing, don't talk.
Okay.
Manischewitz is one.
With my darling to the Tennessee waltz, when an old friend I happened to see, introduced him to my loved one, and stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling, but I have her playing the beautiful Tennessee waltz. just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling, but I
that was really very good.
Gee, thank you.
You know, I can't understand you, kid. You come in here and talk, and when you talk, you sound so ridiculous. And then you sing. And when you sing, you're a completely different person. Gee, I mean, what are you, a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Uh-huh, and each one has his own show.
What?
The doctor's on another network.
Oh, yes.
Well, so long, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, kid.
Oh, say, Mr. Benny.
Now what?
Can I have your permission to do a guest spot tomorrow on a dramatic program?
Dramatic program? What's the name of it?
The Mean Old Man. They got a wonderful part for me where I fix a hole in the roof.
Do it, do it. Goodbye, goodbye. Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Are you sure my television script hasn't arrived yet?
Not yet.
Well, I'm going to call CBS and see what's holding it up. Happens all the time. You gotta rehearse it, you gotta memorize it.
CBS, the star's address. What? All right, you don't have to shout. The line is busy now, hold on.
Where's the guy, Truth?
Jack Benny.
Oh. Well, what does Tennessee Schmaltz want now?
Once I should get him the mimeograph department.
So, why were you so fresh to him?
Why was I so fresh to him? The other night he called and asked me if he could pick me up and take me dancing at the Macombo. And then he got mad because when he called for me, I was wearing my overalls.
Well, I don't blame him for being mad. Why would you wear overalls to the Macombo?
Who gets to the Macombo? I always wind up fixing his car.
You're better off than I am.
Why?
I'm not mechanical-minded, and I have to get out and push.
Have you been out with Jack lately?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. He took me to a nightclub. We sat at a corner, and the lights were low, and he got so romantic.
What did he do?
He drank Hattacol out of my slipper.
Gee, that's funny. He usually drinks Manischewitz's wine.
Yeah, he stuck a straw through the open toe.
Well, with the hat of call, you must have had the happiest feet in town.
Thinking, maybe we shouldn't be so fussy about men.
I guess you're right. After all, we're not getting any younger.
Speak for yourself, John. I'm only 23.
23? Then how did you get that medal for sticking to your switchboard during the San Francisco fire?
It wasn't me. Well, I never... I mean... Oh, why should I lie? You were there.
Yeah? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Benny. The line is still busy. Your television script? I'll tell him. Goodbye.
That's a mimeograph. Mimeograph department drives me nuts. That script should have been here. Hey, maybe that's it. Come in. Oh, hello, Don.
Hello, Jack.
Don. Don, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing.
Now, Don, don't try to kid me. There's something bothering you. What is it?
Oh, it's the Sportsman Quartet. They're mad at me.
The four of them?
Yeah, they're outside and they won't come in because I'm here.
Well, that's ridiculous. Come on in, fellas. Hello, boys.
Hello, boys. See, they won't talk to me.
Yeah.
And they have such a wonderful idea for next week's commercial. Haven't you, boys?
Have you? Now, this is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Now, Don, why are they mad at you?
They found out that you pay me more money than you pay them.
Well, that's a fine thing to be mad about.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. I think they've got a point there.
But, Don, you should get more money than the quartet. You've been with me 17 years.
But, Jack, sentiment shouldn't enter into this. After all, there are four of them.
But, Don, every year you've been picked as radio's outstanding announcer.
I know, Jack, but now let's be fair about it. They work hard, too. And I believe that they should get the same salary I get.
Don, if you feel that strongly about it, there should be an adjustment. I mean, how much am I paying the quartet now?
$100 a week.
Oh. Well, Don, if it'll make you feel better starting next week, I'll cut you down to the same. Okay?
Well, thanks, Jack. That solves the whole thing. Now there won't be any more trouble.
It's amazing that I didn't think of that myself. Well, Don, now that it's all settled, what's this song the boys have?
Well, Jack, you know, in the past few weeks, everybody seems to be catching cold. So they're a little worried about you, and they want you to take care of yourself.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Let's hear it, fellas.
Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of yourself, careful, Mr. B. Eat an apple every day, go to bed by three. Take good care of yourself, pass an NBC. Be careful in the breeze,
ooh.
Watch it, please,
ooh.
Or you'll sneeze,
ooh.
Don't get the flu and ruin your program. If you're ever feeling bad, call a doctor, do. Take good care of yourself, cause we all love you. When you're buying cigarettes, buy the brand you like. Take good care of yourself, smoke a Lucky Strike. When you're driving in a car, or you're on a hike, take good care of yourself, smoke a Lucky Strike.
There'll be no puff that's rough.
Ooh.
Sure enough.
Ooh.
No man of Beshevitz's wine.
Why not be happy and go lucky? For that rich tobacco taste, smoke the best you see. Round, firm, fully packed, Dallas MFT. L-S-M-F-T.
That was very good, fellas, and I hope you're not mad at Don anymore.
I'm sure they're not, Jack, and thanks again for making that adjustment.
You're welcome, Don. I'm sure you won't have any more trouble. Goodbye.
So long, Jack.
So happy. Be my love. Be my love. Well, I saved a little money by cutting Don's salary, but I lost a little, too. After all, I'm his agent. Oh, well. Now, let's see.
Well, here I am, boss.
Rochester, how'd you know I was going to call you?
You ain't going to get any funny answers out of that bridge lamp.
Oh, yes. How's my scrapbook coming along?
It's all finished, boss. I put a title on the cover.
A title on my scrapbook? What do you call it?
Across the River and Into the Bank.
Say, that's pretty good.
Yeah, the bridge lamp never would have thought of that.
I know. Now, put away the paste and I'll get it. Be my love. Well, the boys from the Beverly Hills Beavers, Joey, Stevie, and Butch, and...
This is Butch's mother.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Broderick. Won't you come in?
Thank you. I hope we're not intruding, Mr. Benny, but the boys insisted I come here. You see, Butch idolizes you so much, and...
And what, Mrs. Broderick?
It's like this, Mr. Benny. Butch has a tooth with a cavity in it. It's got to be pulled, and he's afraid to go to the dentist.
Is that right, Butch?
My tooth don't hurt.
Mr. Benny, I'm sure if you told him to go, he would. You see, you're his hero.
I am?
Yes, in fact, I'm kind of thrilled myself, talking to the man who used to play football under the name of Red Grange.
Well...
Tell her about the time you caught your own kickoff and made a touchdown.
Oh, it was nothing, Stevie. Butch, let me look at your tooth. Now, open your mouth.
Mm-mm.
Now, come on now, Butch. Come on, open your mouth.
Mm-mm.
Now, Butch, that's no way to act. You yourself said when you grow up, you want to be just like Mr. Benny.
Yeah, if you're brave and have your tooth pulled, maybe someday you too will be on the Harvard rowing team.
Butch, let me see your tooth.
Oh, Mr. Benny, were you on the Harvard rowing team?
Butch, let me see your tooth.
Mr. Benny, tell Butch's mother about the day you won the rowing regatta all by yourself.
Butch, let me look at your tooth.
Mr. Benny not only won the rowing regatta, but he knocked a home run at the Yankee Stadium at the same time.
Butch, please let me look at your tooth.
Mr. Benny, how could you be rowing and still hit a home run in the Yankee Stadium?
Well,
He had a long arm.
Yes, it was one of the... Rochester, what are you doing here?
Making notes. I'm starting a new scrapbook.
Never mind.
Mr. Benny, would you mind coming down to the dentist's office with us? It's just around the corner. Dr. Kearns.
Oh, Dr. Kearns, yes.
That's the only way I'll get Butch in the dentist's chair.
Well, I'll be glad to go along. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Broderick, how much do you expect to pay to have Butch's tooth pulled?
Oh, I'd say about $5.
$5. Oh, Rochester.
No, boss, the pliers are rusty.
I didn't call you for that. I just wanted to tell you I'm taking Butch to the dentist. Now, come on, Butch.
My tooth don't hurt.
Now, come on. Well, here's Dr. Kern's office. Let's go in.
Come, children.
Yes?
I'm Mrs. Broderick. I called a while ago.
Oh, yes. Which one is to have his tooth pulled? The one playing with the yo-yo or the one with the propeller on his hat?
The one with the yo-yo. The one with the propeller is Mr. Benny.
Oh. Well, Mrs. Broderick, the doctor will be with you in a moment.
Thank you.
Now, look, Butch, after you get your tooth pulled, you should see your dentist twice a year and brush your teeth twice a day. Remember that, Butch, and you'll never have any more trouble.
Hey, Butch, be sure the dentist gives you some of that stuff Mr. Benny invented, that penicillin.
Yes.
I don't want to get my tooth pulled.
Look, Butch, there's really nothing to it. Having a tooth pulled is a very simple...
Next, please.
You may take him in now, Mrs. Broderick.
Come, Butch.
I don't want to have my tooth pulled. It don't hurt. I don't want it pulled.
Now, wait a minute, Butch. Wait a minute. I'll be right back. May I talk to you, Doctor?
Why, certainly.
Now, look, Doc, I want to show Butch that having a tooth pulled doesn't hurt at all.
Well, it really doesn't.
I know, but we've got to convince Butch. So I'll sit in the chair, you make believe that you're pulling my tooth, and I'll make a big nothing out of it.
That's an excellent idea. All right, come sit right down in the dentist's chair.
Now look, Butch, I'm going to have my tooth pulled. Isn't that right, Doctor?
Yes, come, Mr. Benny, open your mouth.
Watch this, Butch. Ah, see, Butch, nothing to it.
Would you please open your mouth again, Mr. Benny?
Huh?
Open your mouth.
Ah. What is it, Doctor? What is it?
Oh, nurse.
Yes, Doctor.
Prepare the Novocaine.
What?
The third tooth from the end, the bicuspid, it has to come out.
But I don't want to get my tooth pulled. It doesn't hurt. Honest, Doctor, it doesn't hurt. I don't want to get my tooth pulled.
Go ahead, Doc. I'm holding them.
Look.
morning, Doctor.
Thank you, nurse.
Doctor, you can't do this to me.
There. There it's out.
Oh, boy. Look at that propeller spin.
Now, Butch, let me look at your tooth. Come on, open your mouth.
I don't want it.
Come on, Butch, open your mouth.
No.
Open that big mouth or I'll bash your head in.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with your tooth, Sonny.
Oh, but doctor, look how black it is.
He's been eating licorice.
What?
And Mr. Benny, for pulling your tooth, that will be $5.
You can deduct it from next month's rent. Come on, kids, let's get out of here.
Moment. And now let's listen as our happy-go-lucky singers salute the month of March.
The winds of March may blow real hard, the weather may be wild, but what care I? I've Lucky Strike, the smoke that's smooth and mild. And Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
In rain or shine or snow this month, keep happy as can be. For better taste, smoke Lucky Strike, cause LSMFT.
Count on it. Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Yes, be happy, go lucky, because Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. Now that is a fact. For fine tobacco and only fine tobacco always gives you that perfect combination of real mildness and rich taste. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So if for any reason you're not completely happy with your present cigarette, if it's too mild or too strong, switch to Lucky Strike for complete smoking enjoyment. You'll get mildness, smoothness, and taste all in one great cigarette, Lucky Strike. You'll agree, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. So be happy, go lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Ooh. Ooh. Rochester, get me another ice bag.
Yes, sir.
And get me two more aspirins.
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
You know, boss, for a man who scored a touchdown with his own kickoff, you're making an awful fuss.
Never mind that. Get me the ice bag.
Okay, Red.
Good night, Dow.
The Jack Benny program is heard by our armed forces overseas and facilitated by the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From Hollywood, the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Some time ago, Phil Harris made a movie called Wabash Avenue for 20th Century Fox Studio. At the time, the head of the studio, Daryl Zanuck, promised to call Phil for another picture job if his performance in Wabash Avenue was satisfactory. As we look in the Harris home, Phil is waiting for the call.
Phil, may I please use the phone?
No. Nobody's using this phone until I get that call from Zanuck.
But, Phil, you've been sitting at that phone for a year and a half now. I don't think he's going to call.
It hasn't been a year and a half. It's only 17 months, 3 weeks, and 4 hours. That's the trouble with you women. You don't have any patience.
Well, Phil, I don't like to put a damper on this, but perhaps Mr. Zanuck didn't like your performance.
Oh, come now, Pamela. You've been doing jackknives in the shallow end again. How could he help liking my performance?
Now, look, Phil, be honest with yourself. If Mr. Zanuck had liked you in the picture, he would have called you.
Look, honey, did it ever occur to you that he might not have seen the picture yet?
Well, it's been playing for a year and a half. It's played the first run, second run, third run, fourth run, and fifth run theaters.
Well, maybe he's waiting to see it on television.
You'll never see that picture on television. It wasn't that bad.
Well, I can't understand Zanuck's indifference. When I was at the studio, he kept me busy all the time. In the morning, I worked on the picture, and in the afternoon, I curried his polo ponies.
He made you take care of his polo ponies?
He certainly did. When you worked at 20th Century for Zanuck, didn't you have to curry his ponies?
Oh, of course not. I was a big star, and Mr. Zanuck always treated me with respect. I remember after I made Alexander's Ragtime Band, he came into my dressing room and told me I was the greatest thing that ever happened to the studio.
Gee, I bet that made you happy.
Oh, it sure did. I was so thrilled I couldn't shoe another horse all afternoon.
No wonder she can beat me at hand wrestling. Used to be a blacksmith, huh? A blonde blacksmith. That's rather unusual. I can't understand. I can't understand it, honey. I don't know why that Zanuck ain't called me.
Oh, Phil, why don't you forget
about
it?
I'm not going to forget about it. I want to know once and for all why he hasn't called me, and I'm going down to the studio and see him and find out. Now, do you want to come along?
I'd better. That's the only way you can get in the place.
Oh, Mr. Zanuck.
Yeah, what is it, Miss Roberts?
Phil Harris is waiting to see you.
Who?
Phil Harris. You know, Mr. Alice Faye.
Oh, him. What does he want?
Well, he says he wants to see you about making another picture.
Oh, he's kidding. Who'd be stupid enough to hire him?
Well, you hired him to make a picture once. You put him in Wabash Avenue and you paid him a lot of
money.
All
right, all right. Stop rubbing it in. I make one mistake in 20 years and you don't let me forget it.
He insists on seeing you, Mr. Zanuck. Shall I send him in?
No.
Miss Faye is with him.
Alice is here? Oh, well, that's different. Send her in, send her in.
Very well. Miss Faye, will you come in, please?
Thank you.
Alice, darling, how are you, dear?
Oh, I'm fine, Mr. Zanuck.
Hiya, Derry, old scout.
You know, Alice, we certainly miss you around here.
Well, I miss being here.
I miss being here, too.
It's amazing how you've retained your beauty. You haven't aged a bit since you made your last picture.
How much can a guy age in a year and a half?
I'm talking to Miss Faye. Now, tell me, Alice, have you come back to make another picture?
No, I haven't.
Now ask me.
You should live so long. Alice, why don't you want to make another picture?
Well, I gave up my career when I got married. You see, Phil's talent is supporting me now. He's the breadwinner of the family.
When was the last time you had a square meal?
Now, just a minute, Zan. This kid eats regular. I see to it that she gets her ham hocks 3 times a day. Don't you, Alice?
Oink, oink, dear.
Alice, I wish you'd reconsider. After all, you were a big star. Your name means a lot. And I have a wonderful idea. I'm thinking of doing the story of your life.
The story of my life? Oh, well, that's very flattering. I'd love that.
Oh, you won't regret it. I can see the title now. The Alice Faye Story, starring Betty Grable.
Starring Betty Grable? Why should Betty Grable play me?
I guess they couldn't get Larry Parks, honey. Look, Zanuck, forget about Alice. Now, how about using me in another picture?
I'm sorry, Harris, but we're not in the market for a comedian.
I say comedian.
No, we're making pictures of a more romantic nature, and well, you're not the romantic type.
I'm not the romantic... Oh, Daryl, you fool, you. I'm the greatest gift to American womanhood since the Gossard Narrowline Girdle.
Surely you must be jesting. Why, you don't put yourself in the same class with, say, Gregory Peck. He has a romantic appeal for women, and you don't.
Oh, Phil has just as much appeal. There's only one difference between them. Gregory draws the Bobby Soxers, and Phil gets the Bloomer Girl trade.
That's telling him, honey. I don't like what you told him, but that's telling him. Hey, Mr. Zanuck, for your information, I can do anything that Gregory Peck can do.
Oh, you can, huh? Do you think you could do something like 12 o'clock high?
Well, that's a little early for me. But if necessary, I can get high anytime you want. Make it around the cocktail hour, and I can do it with both hands full of pretzels. Look, Mr. Zanuck, won't you give me a chance at a romantic lead? I'll fracture the public. I can act. Now, honestly, now, you saw me in Wabash Avenue. What did you think of my acting?
Well, I must admit, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. But it certainly wasn't good. Harris, you're not a bad-looking fellow, really, but somehow your face just misses.
Misses what?
Leave well enough alone, dear. Mr. Zanuck, I think Phil could play romantic leads.
Well, if his features were just a little finer, I might give him a trial. You know, Harris, if you were to change your features, I think it would make you look better.
Changing my features would make me look better? That's like asking Jane Russell to model shoes. Come on, Alice. I'll have no more traffic with this madman.
All right. Goodbye, Mr. Zanuck.
Goodbye, Alice. Goodbye, Mr. Harris.
Humph. I don't need him for a job in pictures. There are a lot of other studios after me. I guarantee I'll never work at this studio again, unless they ask me.
Oh, it's a wonderful studio to work in, Phil. I made all my pictures here. Sort of like home to me. And Phil, there's the soundstage where I recorded two of my favorite songs.
Oh? I'll see you in about 2.5 minutes, folks.
Never know just how much I miss you. You'll never know just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for haven't I told you so a million or more times? You went away, and my heart went with you. I speak your name in my every prayer. That I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know now. Come on in here, come on in here, Alexander's ragtime band. Come on in here, come on in here, it's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. So natural that you want to go to war. That's just the bestest band, what I am. Oh, my honey lamb, come on along, come on along.
let me take you by the hand. Up to the man who's the leader of the band. And if you care to hear the Swanee River play in ragtime, come on and hear
Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Oh, Philip, I thought you'd never get home. What did Mr. Zanuck say about doing another picture for him?
Well, Willie, he wants me, but...
But what?
But not with his face.
Well, that's understandable. What else did he say?
He wants me to change my face.
Don't do it, Philip. Please don't do it.
Oh, you like my face the way it is, huh?
No, it isn't that.
Well, then why don't you want me to change it?
It took me 10 years to get used to it. My stomach is just starting to settle down, and I don't want...
All right. All right, so you got a settled stomach.
Big thing. My stomach has just started...
Hey, honey, I wonder if Zanuck is right. He told me I have the face of a comedian. Maybe I ought to have it changed.
Oh, don't do it, Phil. I like your face the way it is, and I don't care how much people laugh at it.
Oh, this kid's nuts about me. Look, I think Zanuck has a lot of nerve criticizing my looks.
No, don't feel bad, Philip. After all, everybody can't be as good-looking as I am.
Naturally. Tell me more, horse face. What makes you think that you're so good-looking?
Well, you can see for yourself, Philip. Just take my features apart.
Oh, this is going to be a pleasure. Now stand still while I unscrew your ear.
Leave me alone.
Oh, Bill, you don't have to change your face. A lot of leading men aren't handsome. They just look like that because of makeup.
Makeup? That's it, makeup. All I got to do is to make myself up to look romantic. Hey, Alice, what type of romantic lead do the women go for today?
Well, they just made a picture about Rudolph Valentino, and the women are swooning over him again.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that Latin type. Perfect for me. I have the olive skin.
Are you kidding, Clyde? The closest your skin ever got to an olive is when you're drinking a martini.
Bill, don't be ridiculous. Bill, you're not the Latin type.
Well... with makeup, I can look that way. All I gotta do, look, is slick my hair back, grow sideburns, a little mustache, and squint my eyes like I'm reading the small print on an insurance policy, and I got it.
It won't work, Phil, believe me.
I'll show you that it will work. I'll go upstairs, put some makeup on, and you won't be able to tell me from Valentino. Don't go away.
Alice, get the baking soda. There goes my stomach again.
Silence, gringo. Come, my love. Leave for us to tango.
Phil, what are you squinting for?
This is my languorous look. Come with me. We dance. La-dee-dum, ah, you tango divinely, my little garlic cloves. La-dee-dum. What is it, my dear?
You'd better open your eyes. You're dancing with Willie.
Willie? I wondered why I had my arm went around you twice.
Bill, what is that awful makeup you have on?
Oh, it's not awful. I just slicked my hair back, darkened my eyebrows, and painted some sideburns and a mustache. I look more like Valentino than he did himself. And I'll bet you on the screen that you wouldn't be even able to tell. I'll get that.
Hiya, Curly. Ah!
Frankie, what are you screaming for? Don't you know who I am?
Yeah, but I didn't expect to find you here, Groucho.
I'm not Groucho.
Curly, don't tell me this is you.
Si, senor. I made up for to look like famous Latin screen star. Now that I give you hint, who do I remind you of?
Louis Armstrong.
No. I'm Valentino.
Well, if it ain't Rudolph, the red-nosed lover.
Bah! You Americans are all ze like. I think I look lot like Valentino.
Who was at the door, Rudolph?
Well, here comes Vilma Banky now.
Hello, Frankie.
Please, madame, the name is Ricardo Cortez. Today, Rudy and I are Latin lovers. What's this all about?
Well, I bet... I went to see Zanuck, Frankie, and he said that he'd use me in another picture if I looked a little more romantic, and he suggested that I have my face changed.
Curly, do you mean to stand there and tell me that Zanuck doesn't think you look romantic?
No.
Oh, that man must be completely in his right mind.
Now, family, stop the kidding. Now, tell me truthfully, do you think there's anything wrong with my face?
No. I like your face. Reminds me of a modernistic painting.
It does?
Yeah. No matter which way you look at it, it don't make sense.
Look, Remley, now look, let's start all over again. All I want to know is there anything wrong with my features?
No. Except maybe your nose.
What's wrong with his nose?
Well, for one thing, it's big and fat, and I think he ought to have it trimmed.
I won't let him have it trimmed.
Why not?
Because I happen to like his big, fat nose.
Oh, thank you two, not to make fun of my probiscuit. Now, wait a minute, Alice. Wait just a second. Maybe Frankie's right. Maybe I ought to have my nose fixed.
Oh, I won't let you have it trimmed.
Well, at least let him have a tinted flesh color. Looks like a ripe tomato.
It ain't that red.
It ain't, huh? You remember yesterday when we were downtown standing on the corner?
So?
So a bus stood there for 2 hours waiting for your nose to change.
Remley, you're reaching. You've been listening to daytime programs, Remley. But you might be right about my nose being a little wide. Now that I'll grant you. Frankie, what do you think I ought to have done to it to make it look a little different?
I don't know, Curly. Let me think.
Now, Phil, I don't want you to touch your nose.
Don't tell me what to do. It's my nose, and I'll do what I want to with it. And if I feel like it, I may even have it turned upside down.
That's it, Curly. Upside down would make
will
you look
you
different.
Will you shut up?
Hey, Curly, why don't you have your nose slenderized? Just clipped a little.
Well, that's more like it, but I don't know anything about that stuff. Where do I go?
I know a clip joint.
I don't want my nose rolled. I just want it fixed a little bit. Look, Alice, movie stars have a lot of this work done. Where do they go when they want their noses fixed?
Well, I always went to most of them go to Dr. Rayner. He's a wonderful plastic surgeon. But please, Phil, I don't want you to...
Honey, I've made up my mind. My public wants me with a new nose, and they're going to get it. Come on, Remley, you go with me. Alice, you call Dr. Rayner and make an appointment for me. Tell him I'm on my way down. And I'm bringing my nose with me. So long.
Well, this is the craziest thing Phil has ever done. I don't want him to have his nose changed. Hey, wait a minute. I know Dr. Rayner very well, and if I call him and ask him to do something for me, I'm sure he'll do it.
Hey, Remley, I hope this doctor's as good as Alice says he is.
Well, he must be, or Alice wouldn't have
recommended... Hiya, Mr. Harris.
Oh, hello, Julius. Don't bother me, kid. I'm in a hurry.
Where are you going?
I'm on my way to see a plastered surgeon.
Couldn't get a sober one to work on you, huh?
All right, Julius, let's don't get into no routines now. I'm going down to get my nose changed.
It's about time you had it moved to the center of your face.
It is in the center. It just rambles a little.
A little, he says. It's spread all over your kisser. I never seen such a broad nose.
It ain't that broad.
Then how come every time you exhale, you get a draft on both shoulders?
Now, look, kid, Mr. Harris does not have a broad nose.
No?
Just looks that way because he has very narrow shoulders.
Now, wait a minute, fellas. I don't have to stand here and take this kind of stuff from you guys. I can team up with Lum and Abner if I want to do homespun humor, you know.
Mr. Harris, why are you going to have your nose changed?
So that it'll help my appearance.
I think you're making a mistake. If I was you, I wouldn't touch your nose.
You wouldn't?
Why waste time on your snaz when the rest of your face is such a mess?
Curly's face is not a mess. He has fine classical features. Outside of his nose, show me one thing wrong with him.
Look at his profile. Look at the way his chin recedes.
Which one?
All three of them. He looks like he just had his throat terraced. Another thing, look at all them lines in his face.
Ah, they're hardly noticeable. Besides, a little putty can always fill them in.
I've never seen lines like this. Here's an unusual one. Looks like a detour on a road map. And look at this one. Mr. Harris, right here, you got a very funny line.
It's about time I had a funny line. Now, will you beat it, Julius? I got to get to the doctor.
What doctor are you going to, Mr. Harris?
Dr. Rayner.
Hey, he's a good man. He operated on my aunt's nose. She had a big beak, but he fixed that. He removed the bone.
The whole bone? Well, how does she look?
Like a turkey.
That must give her a nice, loose look. Does her nose flop around a little?
Yeah. She had to stop shaking her head from side to side. She was getting cauliflower ears. Well, have a nice operation, Mr. Harris.
Curly, was that a dirty laugh?
Well, I wouldn't want to hear it in the middle of the Tennessee Waltz. Hey, Remley, maybe I shouldn't have this surgery done.
Nah, don't let that kid scare you. Dr. Rayner is a great surgeon. Come on, here's the building he's in. Let's go on up, Curly.
Frankie, now maybe Julius wasn't kidding. This guy might ruin my looks. There must be other plastic surgeons, but where could a guy find one?
You have come to the right man, Harris.
Rube! Old Tringer Finger.
Yeah, hiya, Grog. Hey, you a plastic surgeon now?
In a way, I have changed the contour of a face or two in my day. Whose face you want changed, fellas?
Mine.
Looks like somebody's worked on it already. However, maybe I can help you. What do you want done to your face?
Well, my nose is too big, Grog, and I want it made smaller.
Okay, hold still, tilt your chin, and tell me how much you want shot off.
I don't want it shot off.
Just trying to help you, pal. Why do you want to change your nose anyway?
Well, I want to play romantic roles in pictures, and I need a new nose for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Harris, I like you, and I want to see you happy. What kind do you want?
Well, I'd like to have Tyrone Power's nose.
Okay, tell me where he lives, and I'll go get it.
No, I'd rather not. If Ty ever caught cold, I'd have to go around sneezing for him. Take me to Europe and all around.
Now, look, Grog, Mr. Harris doesn't want you to work on him, but maybe you can recommend a good plastic surgeon.
Well, I happen to know the best.
Is he good?
Oh, get him. Is he good? You know what he did for me last year? He changed my face so that my own mother couldn't recognize me. Better than that, the cops couldn't either.
Well, just changing your face isn't enough. They can get you by tracing your fingerprints.
Yeah, well, my boy, he thought of that, too, because this guy is a genius, you see. He fixed my hand so I never have any more trouble with the cops.
Yeah, how'd he do that?
Gave me J. Edgar Hoover's fingerprints. See, that's why you don't read too much about Mr. Hoover anymore. He's too busy thinking up alibis for the jobs I pull.
Brogan, I don't believe this man is the man I want to go to. Thank you.
You're making a mistake, kid, because my boy is a great doctor. He's fixed the noses of a lot of celebrities.
Name one.
Jimmy Durante.
Oh, he did a good job of that. Great job. What did he use on him, a nut pick?
Of course, this guy's greatest masterpiece was the job that he did on Rudy Valley. Oh, yeah. Gave Rudy three nostrils.
Three nostrils?
Yep. One for breathing, one for blowing, and one for singing. Oh, Harris, my doctor is great, and all I want you to do is just try his wink. He guarantees it. You can't lose nothing.
Except my nose.
You can't lose that either. Just let him cut a piece off. If you don't like the way it looks, he'll staple it back on again.
I believe that's all I want to hear. Well, so long, Grog, and we'll see you in the lineup sometime and give my regards to Kefauver. Come on, Remley, I'm going. Let's get that Dr. Rayner to operate. Yeah.
Phil, Dr. Rayner just operated on your nose 2 hours ago. You shouldn't take the bandages off.
Nonsense.
Yet.
I'm taking the bandages off now. I want to see how I look because I... Oh, no. What did that butcher do to me? Look at this new nose he gave
me. Phil.
This is the most ridiculous nose I've ever seen.
Phil.
It looks like something he picked up on a used nose lot. I'm going to see that guy. I'm going to take
Phil.
Him for everything. What?
When I called the doctor this morning, I told him not to change it. That's your same old big fat nose, dear. Yes.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Gene Bates, Sheldon Leonard, and Marvin Miller. Phil Harris's Nose was played by Phil Harris's Nose.
Now, Hedda Hopper, then Theater Guild and Hamlet on NBC.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show. There's only this episode and your next episode that are going to feature Larry Stevens. For the last month or so, since we've been posting the episodes with Kenny Baker from 1935, you've had four Benny shows a week, and out of the four, we've had three different tenors. We, of course, have had Kenny Baker on the shows from 75 years ago that were playing on Saturdays. 70 years ago, we have Dennis Day. These shows from 65 years ago, we have Larry Stevens because Dennis Day was off in the Navy, and he will be coming back, like I say, in 2 weeks. So we'll be saying goodbye to Larry Stevens. I think Larry Stevens did a nice job while he was on the show. He hasn't done much else as far as publicly in his life that I can find on the internet or anything. He basically came in, did the shows for to replace Dennis, and then went back into private life. Right before he died, he recorded an album of his favorite songs that were on the Benny Show and so forth in the year, I think he recorded them in 1999, but he died in 2000. And before they were released, he died, but they're still available. If you look out there on the internet, you can find them. I think of all the songs he performed on the show, my favorite is probably Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, that he performed a couple weeks ago. I think he did a good job. I mean, they certainly weren't writing him to replace Dennis, in that they didn't build up his part or anything like they did Dennis's part, because they knew they were getting Dennis back. I would assume if the worst happened and they lost Dennis while he was in the Navy, or if he decided he wasn't coming back, they would have either beefed up Larry's part or got a new tenor. But they didn't need to do that because, of course, Dennis was fine and he came back, and Jack had promised him his job, and I think that was really nice and another chance for Jack, for us to see Jack's loyalty to his performers. I think it's neat that Dennis Day comes back on St. Patrick's Day. I think that's very appropriate. And all three of them have very different singing styles from each other, and I enjoy all three. I might enjoy Larry Stevens the most because he might have the most contemporary type spin on his style, I guess. But I'm not sure. It depends on the song. I like different songs from different of their performances. Anyway, enjoy Larry Stevens tonight. His songs are cut from this show, unfortunately. I'm doing a tribute to Larry Stevens on the episode where his songs are cut, but that's the way it goes. I'll talk about him some more next week, too, but at least you get to still hear his talking parts on this episode. So I hope you enjoy the episode. Let's see, I was going to talk about something else. Save it for next time. Thank you. Take care.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, our show is still in Palm Springs, so let's go out to Jack Benny's house where we find Jack relaxing and reading the local newspaper.
Look at all these want ads. Here's one from Bullock's store. Wanted, floor walker. Must have own carnation. Wanted, fry cook. Apply Chi Chi restaurant. Wanted, stable boy. Had better have own carnation. Wanted, gardener's helper at Deepwell Ranch. Apply between 2 and...
Oh, this is silly.
I'm sure my sponsor will pick up my option. But just in case he doesn't. Well, they've got a gossip column here, too. Tyrone Power, who was visiting here last week... Imagine that. Last night, Pauline Beth, famous tennis player.
Oh, these columnists sure get around.
Well, here's something about me. Jack Benny.
I did not.
Imagine saying I went into the post office wearing a bare midriff. Just happened that the laundry shrunk my shirt. Well, that finished the newspaper. Rochester, hand me those pamphlets I got from the Palm Springs Chamber of Commerce.
Here you are, boss.
Thanks. Listen to this. Palm Springs, the jewel of the desert, where the warm, radiant sun pours its golden treasure down on the happy and carefree inhabitants. Palm Springs, where the majestic peaks of the San Jacinto Mountains cast their spell of beauty for all to enjoy. Do you hear that, Rochester? And just think, Mother Nature gives us all these things free.
Yeah, it's a shame Mother ain't running the hotels, too.
Well, Mom's got enough to do. But I like Palm Springs. In fact, I'm thinking of buying a house here. I even asked a real estate man to come over this afternoon.
But, boss, property is so expensive down here.
I know it is, but if I can find just what I want, I'm willing to go up to $1,500. Yes, sir. What are you laughing at? $1,500 ain't peanuts.
I know, but down here, that's all it'll buy.
Oh, Rochester. Rochester, you're exaggerating.
No, I ain't, boss. You know that little house on the corner with the white fence around it?
Uh-huh.
That just sold for $80,000 and 2 pounds of butter.
Well, maybe it had it. There's the door. I'll get it.
Are you Jack Benny?
Yes?
Well, I'm Mr. Fulton, the real estate man.
Oh, yes, yes. Step right in. Rochester, take his hat, coat, and empty the sand out of his shoes.
Now, Mr. Benny, just what type of house do you have in mind? Spanish, colonial, or French provincial?
Well, Mr. Fulton, I think a home should suit the individual. What kind of a house would fit me?
How about early American?
No, no, I don't think I'd like early American.
How about sold American?
Rochester! Gee, Mr. Fulton, I don't know what to do. Did you bring your pictures with you?
Yes, I did. Now, here's one of me when I graduated from...
I mean your house! Pictures of your houses.
Oh, yes, yes, I always make that mistake. I guess it's because I have a head with 7 gables.
Oh.
And Garson's got every one of them.
Now, look, Mr. Fulton, let's get down to business. Show me some pictures of what you have to offer.
Gladly. Now, here we are. Here's a house that ought to interest you, and the price is
$40,000. $40,000 for a house? That's a lot of money. What about the ceiling?
And with the ceiling, it'll be $60,000.
Look at that. That's not what I mean. Anyway, it's much too expensive.
Oh, not for this house. It has a very novel innovation. A 300-foot spiral banister.
You mean a spiral staircase, don't you?
No, no, a spiral banister. That's for people who don't drink but want to know how it feels.
I don't think I'd like that.
That banister could save me a fortune.
Rochester, please. Show me something else, Mr. Fulton. Have you got a house with a swimming pool?
No, but that's no problem. I can build you a tile pool for only $10,000.
No, no, I don't want to go that high.
Well, I can build you a cement pool for only
$2,500. No, no, that's still too high for a swimming pool.
Why don't you just dig a hole and hire a tribe of Indians to do a rain dance?
What's so cheap about that? They're organized, you know. Anyway, Mr. Fulton, I don't think you have the kind of a house I want.
Well, let me show you one more. Here's a beautiful house, and it's only $70,000.
Well, it's a lovely place, but $75,000 or $70,000 is too much. Anyway, Mr. Fulton, thanks very much for dropping in. Maybe we can talk about it some other time.
All right. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye. Oh, Mr. Fulton.
Yeah?
What? What's that yellow stuff running out of your pocket?
Oh, my goodness, it's butter. I just sold the house on the corner.
Oh, yes, yes, I heard about it. Goodbye, Mr. Fulton.
Goodbye.
Well, Rochester, I better get down to the Plaza Theater. The broadcast will be on in a few minutes.
Say, that reminds me, boss, the manager of the theater called up yesterday.
What about?
Well, he said according to the rental contract, when you finish your program, you're supposed to leave and not hang around and watch the picture.
What's he complaining about? I stand up, don't I? Well, I gotta get to the theater.
Shall I drive you, boss?
No, the wind will take me over today. Go on, Rochester.
Goodbye.
Oh, played by Klondike Harris and his sweetest music this side of the Yukon. And you can have it. I sat up all night writing that joke.
I'll bet you hated yourself in the morning.
Not any more than usual. Say, Phil, Larry Stevens sang that number 2 weeks ago. How come you repeated it as a band number?
Why don't you tend to your comedy and keep your nose out of my business?
Well, it happens to be my business, too. After all, who's the star of this show?
I don't know, but when I see my paycheck every week, I know it ain't me.
Oh, stop complaining. You're getting a good salary.
What are you talking about? Alice gets more than I do for an autograph.
Then the moral of the story is learn to write. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Hey, Jack, we had to start the show without you. Where have you been?
Oh, I'm sorry I was late, Dom. But you see, I'm thinking of buying a house here, and I was detained by a real estate man.
Oh, Jack, are you thinking of moving to Palm Springs?
Well, I was toying with the idea, Don. You know, I like it here. I've been having so much fun, horseback riding, playing golf every day. I played golf this morning, didn't I, Mary?
Uh-huh.
You know, Don, they got the nicest little 9-hole course here. You should have seen me this morning on that 4th hole. I put down my ball, picked up my club, and
He missed it once, he missed it twice, he missed it once again.
It's been a long... Mary! Certainly I missed it. You know, it's hard to hit a ball when it's not teed up properly.
Well, you wouldn't have that trouble if you buy some tees.
Mary, you mean to say that Jack doesn't use tees when he plays golf?
No, he waits for a gopher to stick his head out of a hole, and then he puts the ball on his nose.
Oh, Mary, I play a good game of golf, and you know it.
Oh, sure. Tell him what happened on the 5th hole.
Nothing happened. I did exactly what my golf teacher told me. I placed the ball in line with my left foot, brought the club over my right shoulder, and wham!
He broke his toe.
I did not. I killed the gopher. Now, how old, 4? If he doesn't know the rules, let him keep off the course. Anyway, I play a better game of golf than anybody in this gang. I beat Phil the other day.
Sure, you beat me. Every time you took a 9 on a hole, you turned the scorecard upside down before you wrote it in.
Well, I could have beat you without that if I hadn't knocked one ball out of bounds.
Yeah, and what about that bad slice you made on your first drive?
Oh, that wasn't such a bad slice.
It wasn't, huh? The ball went 50 yards, made a U-turn, came back and hit you in the stomach.
Mary.
Then you got so mad you were going to break your club against a tree.
What stopped him?
When he drew his club back, he saw the price tag on the bottom, so he put it back in his bag.
You can make up more things. I still say I play a better game. I'll get it. Hello?
Say, boss, Mr. Fullen, the real estate man, came back and said they found a few termites in the house, so you can have it for $65,000.
Termites, Well, Rochester, you tell Mr. Fulton that I'm not paying any $65,000 for a house.
If he hasn't guessed that by now, he's been out in the sun too long.
I don't care where he's been. I'm not spending that kind of dough. Would you pay $65,000 for a house in Palm Springs?
I wouldn't pay $65,000 for a cabin in the sky.
Well, tell the man. Tell the man.
I did.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, kids, it looks like I'm not going to buy a house here. Anyway, let's get on with the show, because tonight we're going to do a very important sketch. And I want to start casting it immediately.
Say, Jackson, I thought you were going to do a sketch next week.
We are, Phil. We're going to do a sketch next week, too. And you'll never guess in a million years who our guest star is going to be.
Ray Milland.
There's no use trying. Yes, that's who it is. Ray Milland. The star of Lost Weekend. And to make him feel at ease, we're having a brass rail put around the microphone. Anyway, that's next week.
Ray Milland. Gee, I think he's a wonderful actor.
I can drink him under the table.
Phil, with him, it's bread and butter. With you, it's tomato juice and black coffee. Now, let's get on with the sketch we're going to do tonight. It's a murder mystery, and I'm going to be the chief of police of Palm Springs. Phil, you're going to be my sergeant. And, Don, you're also going to be a member of the force.
Well, what am I going to be, Jack?
Mary, you're going to play the part of a glamorous movie star who came to Palm Springs to be with her husband. And at the start of the play, he murders you.
Oh, Jack, if he murders me, I won't get any laughs.
All right, then, you murder him.
Thanks, Jack.
Now, Larry Stevens.
Yes, Mr. Benny?
You're going to be on the police force, too.
Come on, keep moving, keep
Not
moving.
Not yet. Wait till it starts. And take off that Hoover button. I'll give you a badge. Now, Don, Larry, and Phil, as long as you're going to be on my police force, I'll have to swear you in. And since all you people in the audience will be witnesses, I'll have to swear you in, too. Now, come on, everybody. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. L-S-M-F-T.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky strike means fine tobacco.
Lucky strike means fine tobacco.
So round, so firm, so fully packed.
So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Wait for me! With men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-1.
With men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-1.
You thought you were getting in for nothing. All right, kids, this play will go on immediately after a song by... Hold it a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny, I just talked to the owner, and you can have that house for $50,000.
Look, Mr. Fulton, a few minutes ago you wanted $70,000. Now it's $50,000. Why is the price coming down so fast?
Those termites are hungrier than we thought they were.
Well, in that case, I don't want the house.
Oh, don't worry about that, Mr. Benny. The termites will be out by tomorrow.
How do you know?
They're getting so fat.
They're not going to get fat off of me, so goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sorry I started looking for a place. Come on, Larry, let's have your song. That was Day by Day, sung by Larry Stevens. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our feature attraction tonight, we are going to offer a mystery melodrama entitled Murder at the Lone Palm, or Her Husband Asked for Some Wine, So She Gave Him Both Barrels. The scene opens at the Palm Springs Police Station. Police Captain O'Benny is in his office behind closed doors, grilling a suspect. Curtain. Music. Now listen, you. You're dealing with Captain O'Benny this time, and I want to warn you, anything you say will be held against you. Now, you're accused of robbing the post office, sticking up a train, stealing the Hammersteeth diamonds, and then you boldly held up the First National Bank and killed the cashier. Now confess, you did it, didn't you?
No.
Okay, you can go. If he'd have said yes, I'd have hung them. Nobody puts anything over me.
There's the phone, Captain.
I'll get it. Hello, Palm Springs Police Station and Date Shop. Captain O'Benny speaking. What? Yes, we have some with the stuffing in the middle and the walnut on top. Oh, you want the walnuts in the middle and the stuffing on top. We're out of those. Try the city hall. Goodbye. O'Harris.
Yes, Chief.
You arrested two fellas last night. I want you to stop filling this jail with crooks. You understand?
Well, I got to do something with them.
During the height of the season, this jail is for tourists. I'm getting $12 a cell, American plan. You catch crooks during the summer.
Morning, Chief.
Hiya, man. How are things?
A lot of drunks on my beat.
A lot of drunks on my beat, too.
Well, what do you know? Pickle beats.
Cut it out, O'Harris. I'll take it. Palm Springs Police Station and Date Shop. O'Benny speaking.
Hello, Chiefy. This is Missy LaRue at the Lone Palm.
Yes, yes. What is it, Miss LaRue? Well,
get a good grip on your badge. My husband has just been murdered.
Oh, he has, eh? Do you know who murdered your husband?
No.
Have you got any ideas?
Well, now that he's dead, yes.
All right, Miss LaRue, I'm coming right over.
Okay, Chiefy, and bring a half a pound of dates.
We always do. Goodbye. Come on, man. Mitzi LaRue's husband has been murdered, and I'm going to find out who did it, or my name ain't... I'll take it. Palm Springs Police Station and Date Shop. Captain O'Benny talking.
Oh, Mr. Benny, I'm here with the owner, and you can have the house for $40,000.
$40,000, eh? Well, I might be interested. However, I'd have to...
Talk fast. The termites are spreading mayonnaise on the telephone.
Well, that settles it. I don't want it. Goodbye. Now, come on, man. Let's go. And we'll find the murderer of Missy LaRue's husband, or my name ain't... All right, men. Here we are at the Lone Palm. Say, this is a pretty classy place, isn't it?
It certainly is. Look at that swimming pool.
How about it, Chief?
Why not? Oh, boy, that felt good. All right, come on, man. We got a mystery to solve. This is Miss LaRue's bungalow right here.
Come in.
Hello, Miss LaRue. I'm Captain O'Benny. I'm here to solve the murder of your... Wait a minute. Where's your husband's body?
In the backyard.
Wasn't he killed in this hotel room?
Yes, but checkout time is 3 o'clock.
Well, tell me everything you know about this crime.
I don't know anything. I was just sitting here popping my bubble gum.
You didn't hear a shot?
No, I really pop it, Pop.
Well, come on, O'Harris. Let's look around this room for clues.
Come on, keep moving. Keep moving.
Stevens, that's the body. Now, come on, O'Harris. Let's go.
Hey, Chief, look, there's a gun on the table and it's still smoking.
A smoking gun, eh? What do you got to say to that, Miss LaRue?
My gun's been smoking Lucky Strikes for 9 hours.
That's not what I mean. Now, listen, man. She's a pretty smart dame. So let's give her the...
Hey, Chief, Chief! The doorknob's moving. There's someone in that closet.
Where?
Right there.
You're right, Wilson. Stand back, everybody. We'll get him out of there. Now, come on. Come out of that closet or I'll shoot.
Don't shoot. Don't shoot. It's me, Fulton.
Oh, the real estate man.
Are you the murderer? Well, what do you think I am with this knife in my hand? The man who came to dinner?
Oh, then you're the one that killed Mitzi LaRue's husband.
Yes, I did it. I did it, and I'm glad.
All right, then come clean. Tell me, why did you do it?
I'll tell you why. He was the toughest customer I ever had, that's why. I offered him a house for $70,000, and he didn't buy it.
Mr. Fulton?
Then I came down to $60,000. He still said no. Then 50, then 40, then 30. And he kept saying no, no, no. Suddenly, something within me snapped. It was driving me mad.
Mr. Fulton?
I went crazy. So I took out my gun and let him have it. Bang, 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 bang.
Mr. Fulton?
I'm glad I did it. Glad I did it. And I'll do it again. I'll do it to anybody who refuses to buy a house.
Mr. Fulton?
I tried to sell you a house, didn't I? But you... You kept tormenting me.
Mr. Fulton.
No, you kept saying. No, no. I came down from 70,000 to 60,000 to 50,000 to 40,000, but still you said no.
Mr. Fulton.
Now you're going to buy that house or I'll...
Chief, Chief.
Don't worry, I'm armed.
Have you got a gun?
No, a pen. Where do I sign?
Right here on the dotted line.
There is no dotted line.
There is now.
Oh, yes, it's on my chest. There you are. The house is mine.
Thank you, Mr. Benny, and goodbye. Oh, Miss LaRue?
Yes?
You can tell your husband to get up now. We've made the deal.
Well, how do you like that? He tricked me into buying that house. All right, men, I've got a house now. And I'll get those termites out of there, or my name ain't...
You know that house you just bought for me?
Yes.
Well, I can get you $200,000 for it.
$200,000? Who in the world would pay that much?
The termites. They're putting up a dollar apiece.
Well, let them have it. They've got most of it anyway. Good night, folks.